Welcome to the What's Good Dough podcast and get ready to level up. But before we continue with the show, I want to introduce you to my two show sponsors, Uni Pizza Ovens and Cordo Olive Oil. Let's start with Uni. They are the number one pizza oven company in the world with the best community there is. Because of their ovens, I have made some of the most amazing pizzas. From round pies to squares, I'm able to get to temperatures of up to 900 degrees, allowing me to cook the pizzas of my dreams. If you're looking to grow your pizza business, buying an Uni makes sense. My past guest Ryan of Sanctuary Pizza has a mobile catering company powered by Uni. These powerful ovens are efficient, lightweight, and can be used almost anywhere. Whether you take pizza seriously like me, or want to run a pizza operation like Ryan, Uni is the choice for you. Use the link in the show notes and join the Uni community. My second show sponsor is Cordo Olive Oil. At first, I didn't believe that olive oil mattered. It wasn't until I got educated and learned about the difference between commodity oil and Cordo's fresh squeezed olive oil that I ditched the supermarket stuff. Today, I only use Cordo Olive Oil when it comes to making my dough and even doing a post-bake drizzle. I have even made some amazing pesto with it. Oh my goodness. Cordo's high quality olive oil does really elevate anything it touches. My buddy Chris, who runs A Slice of New Jersey, just switched over to Cordo. Not only is he getting quality, but he ended up saving money by switching over too. If you're still unsure of the difference, pizza operators can sign up for a free olive oil tasting. Use the link in the show notes to learn more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my show sponsors and supporting this show. What's up, y'all? I'm not going to try to make this intro long. I just want to let you know this is a continuation of the first episode with Ethan. If you haven't listened to that already, please check it out. It is the episode before this. We do a deep dive on Cannato style pizza, and it's definitely something you don't want to miss. Today, we talk about relationships, toxic positivity, toxic negativity, and really just committing to something and trying to get good at it. Whatever you choose, right? Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And remember to always ask, what's good dough? I would love to kind of explore just the win that you had of like taking your life and, can I say, drastically changing it to a healthier lifestyle?
Yeah, no, for sure. For me, I was at a point where like I was really, really convinced, and this was before the pandemic, mind you, I was really convinced I was going to die very soon, right? I was very heavy. I was 440 pounds or so. And I was like struggling to tie my shoes. Like nothing was easy for me, you know, and it was all hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it my all. I'm going to lose some weight. I'm going to do this. Like it's this or not seeing my kids grow up. You know, I've told people before, but like, this is very true. My mom told me on her deathbed that the only regret she had is not seeing her grandkids grow up, you know, and that was my kids. And I'm like, I'm scared. I'm not going to see my own children grow up, you know, if I don't do something. So, I really tried to make that change for the better. And it wasn't easy, but every day I could do, like, I can do one day of eating healthy. I can do one day of going to the gym. I can't do 6 months, but I can do one day. I'm just going to do that day over and over. You know, I'm just going to do that one day. And I know it's the same thing for people who are struggling with addiction to things that aren't food, to, you know, substances, to gambling, to sex, to, you know, whatever it is. Like, if you really struggle with something, don't worry about quitting it forever. Just worry about having one good day. If you can just have one good day, you can repeat that day. And that's the key, you know. It's so overblown when we try things, and we think if we can't do it right now, if it's not perfect, then I might as well not even try. If I'm not going to lose 200 pounds in the next week, there's no point doing it. If I'm not going to make a high hydration pizza that, you know, tastes like I'm eating a cloud in the next 2 months, why even try? You know, it took me a whole year to really get to the point where I'm like happy with that end result. It took me 2 years to lose enough weight where I was like, okay, I can, go do what I need to do. It takes time. I did a lot of, a work within hip hop music for a while, where at the beginning, you know, I was really bad. We're talking, you know, a heavy white Jewish boy who wants to be a rapper. Like, that was not something that was feasible. You know, rhythmically challenged Ethan is not good at this. But then, you know, slowly I'm working at, you know, my rhythm, I'm working at writing lyrics, and next thing you know, I'm winning, you know, battle rap competitions, and I'm you know, recording albums in Minnesota at like really nice studios. And it's like, how did this happen? Well, the same way every time I'm successful. You know, I dropped out of high school and got my GED when I was like 17, you know, and I was like, you know, I'm just not academically minded. That's not the route I go. But then same idea, slowly starting my way at a community college, you know, doing my work, going to grad school, you know, getting in, graduating summa cum laude, you know, with a 4.0, you know, master's degree. It's just about changing your focus. And it's not about where you are, and it's not about where you're going to end up. It's about the journey there. And if every day you work on that journey, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to be successful because you're giving it your all. And even if giving it your all fails, you're true to yourself and you win, you know?
Just to catch everyone up here, like, I was late to my interview with Ethan, and, you know, my wife and I were just having a heated discussion about how positivity and mindset and thinking that we can take things just one day at a time is not as easy for some people. And I think I get that. But does it help when someone like you and me just talk about being positive all the time? Does it help motivate people, or is there a different way that people should be looking at life depending on where they are?
Yeah, you know, I think the positivity is key. You know, and that's really, you know, it's contagious, it's infectious, but at the same time, like, you have to be realistic and you have to, you know, understand, you know, for one, there are limitations, and two, you know, you don't always have to be plucky, right? Like, part of the struggle of life is trying when you're not happy, you know, and I'd say that's like 85% of my, you know, time. You know, I'm a happy person and I enjoy things a lot. But I'm also very cynical. Like, I am a very, very pessimistic human being. My glass is almost always half full of water unless I'm hydrating my pizza dough. You know, like, it's really a situation where the success comes not because you're happy, but because you're trying to be happy despite everything telling you the contrary. You know, it's about being as upset with somebody as you possibly feel you can be, but not reacting to those emotions, you know, in the moment. And it's about, you know, looking at an insurmountable mountain and not thinking, okay, I'm going to climb this, but hey, I bet I can make it up, you know, 15 feet before I fall this time, you know. And that's what it's about, knowing realistically that everything isn't sunny and everything isn't wonderful, but the end result can be if you don't give up.
It's also sometimes filtering too. I read somewhere that you did go through those 1% of comments on Reddit where, like, people were giving you negative stuff, and it's like, do you choose to dwell? Or I guess maybe, obviously nobody wants to dwell, but like, how do you not dwell on those comments?
One of my favorite musicians was a guy by the name of Michael Larson. And he passed away like over a decade ago at 29, like all the wonderful musicians do. But he had printed out a shirt, right, with all the negative like critiques people gave him of his music as he shifted from hip hop into like experimental jazz, freestyle, funkadelic type of awesomeness. And everybody hated his, you know, his work. Like, they're like, no, we want to see you rapping still. And so, like, they'd have all these mean, nasty comments. So what he did is he just printed them all on a shirt, and then played his show with all those, you know, things out there, like wearing them like a badge of honor, right? Like, this is what people say, you know, like, it so doesn't bother me, I'm going to celebrate that. And that's what I did on Reddit. So that gave me the idea to print out a shirt of like the meanest comments I could find, like, oh, he's still fat, or, you know, he's going to gain it all back, or, you know, like any of the meanest things and worse than that, you know, swear words, all that. Like, you know, and some of them were funny, you know, and they'd make me laugh. And so, like, but I printed them all on a shirt, And then I posted that, and that, you know, got me like another 200,000 views and, you know, more people contacting me to learn about the situation. So it's about taking that negative energy and harnessing it, you know, and making light of it. Like there's one group on Facebook that I post on, knowing that they're going to tear down the style of pizza. Like they hate the style of pizza I make, but I still post there, you know, and I make fun of it too. Like the other day I made a pizza where I didn't even put any toppings on it, right? It was just literally a giant ball, you know, and I was like, okay, and next to a bowl of soup. And that's my post now, because you say it's a bread bowl. So here, I'll actually make a bread bowl for you guys. Like, it's about having fun with it and not letting, you know, that negativity impact you in a way that hurts you, but using it in a way that inspires you, you know, and using that as your motivation. Like, yeah, there are always going to be people who want to tear you down, but they want to tear themselves down. And so they're just using you as a mirror, right? They're not doing it because they actually feel like you deserve to be destroyed. It's because they feel bad about themselves. And, you know, that sounds cliche, but it really is true from a psychological standpoint. You know, people who hurt have that whole misery loves company thing. So they lash out on people. And it just is what it is.
The example you gave of the t-shirt was a perfect answer and response. I want to take it one level deeper and say, like, that individual who was wearing the shirt on concert, oh my goodness, already living an awesome life, already has a lot of ground to stand on. You receiving those comments, you know, the 1% of comments, you are already celebrating your success of losing X amount of pounds. How does someone who is not as successful or just starting their journey or in that rut able to overcome that toxic negativity that they hear or are unable to believe in a positive to look at life in a lens of positivity?
Yeah, well, I mean, so one is you have to understand that, you know, by playing into that negative energy, you are giving that negative energy life, you know, like you're breathing life into it. Every time it infects you and impacts your day, all you're doing is spreading it, right? You're just letting it, like, go and letting it flourish, and you're, you know, breathing life into it. And if you ignore it, then it's quelled, you know, like it's not there. So, you know, if you want to, you know, spend your days reading all the negative comments online you can about the things you love, you could do that 24/7. You know, no matter what you love, you can find somebody online who hates it and tells you why they hate it and probably has a logical, you know, well thought out reasoning behind why everything you love in life is actually horrible, you know. And you could, you know, spend your time doing that, or you could go look at the things you love and be happy. So, I mean, it's all about where you want to focus that energy. Do you want to focus it into the negativity? Do you want to feed into it? Or do you want to try to feed that happiness or try your best to be happy despite the negativity you recognize? You know, and I think that's key for success in this life. I think it's key for success in most things, you know, maybe not for a movie critic, but pretty much everything else, you know, like being able to look at the positive or ignore the negative is just clutch. And you're not going to make everybody happy no matter what you do. So you got to recognize that. And you gotta, you know, pursue your loves, and, you know, you gotta understand that's true in relationships, and it's true like across the board. Like, it's not going to always be sunshine. It's not always going to be happy, you know, puppy dogs and ice cream. But you know, a lot of times it is. And even if it's Brussels sprouts and lions and tigers, you know, maybe you can chill with them for a bit. You know, maybe you'll learn something. So
I love to believe that relationships or anything is really just about, you know, it's putting in the hard work where you can and really just being accepting of change and being understanding, you know. And I wanted to just get your feedback on how you and your wife, like, you all didn't open a business together by, you know, losing weight together, but you worked on a joint venture of, you know, working towards a healthy lifestyle.
We both have, you know, struggled with weight our whole lives, you know, gain a little bit, lose a lot, gain a lot, you know, like kind of the yo-yo thing. But we did, you know, decide, okay, we're going to kind of motivate each other with this. So, you know, we moved out to Vegas, for example, And when we got out here, I gained back like 60 pounds with carbs, and she didn't really. She lost like another 20, right? And I saw that, and I was like, okay, now you're motivating me the way I had motivated you to start the journey, because I had lost like 60 pounds or so before she even started. So it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, this can be done. You know, you view them and you see what it is, and you know, you can choose to be bitter and jealous of somebody else's success, or you can be like, yeah, they did that. Damn, they did that. I can do that too, you know? And that's what you gotta tell yourself. And it's hard, you know, there's no perfect relationship. There's many days when my wife is very upset that I'm still making pizza for dinner, you know, when she wants to have, you know, a date night, and then we'll go out to eat, and then, you know, I'll order pizza. She'll be like, why are you still, you know, ordering pizza? Like, let's, you know, expand our horizons. I'm like, but I'm so interested in this, you know, and it's even the things we love, you know, can be a struggle. Like, she loves walking, and I'll be like, yeah, 2 miles is enough, you know, and she'll be like, but don't you want to keep, you know, going? I'll be like, no, I want to go in the hot tub now, you know, and it's like, you know, I'll still walk with her, and then she'll eat my pizza. And it's about, you know, compromise. You have to figure out where you guys can meet in the middle at all things. And, it's hard though. Like, I think we put out this image as a society that relationships need to be perfect, or the process of, you know, what you do for a living needs to be perfect. And it's just not reality. You know, like working with sourdough, like for my pizzas, is a great example of how things sometimes go a little, you know, iffy, because sourdough can do its own thing. It's not as predictable as using yeast, you know. And certainly relationships with somebody who's interesting and exciting and fun and, you know, pushes all your buttons is not going to be the same thing as a, you know, very bland, boring relationship where you have no trouble, where you have no problems. You know, my wife is a firecracker, and she's clever and funny and exciting, but she keeps me on my toes, you know, and she is the first person to tell me when I'm screwing up in life. You know, she's the first person to tell me, oh, that was a stupid thing you did, you know, and you need that, you know, and you can't have a situation where you and somebody you have a great relationship with never fight or argue or see differently about things, because it's not going to work out.
First of all, I want to say thank you for being vulnerable there and sharing your experience. And hopefully I wasn't too vulnerable, but is there any, like, and do you have any closing thoughts or comments, suggestions, questions for the listeners to digest upon after this little bit that we did?
I just think everyone out there should think to themselves, you know, what do I love and why am I not doing it more? You know, is there a good reason why you're not pursuing your passions? Is there a good reason why you're not doing the things you love? Do you feel like you really don't have enough time to pursue those things? Because I'm guessing the answer is you should be doing that stuff. And I'm not happy when I'm not pursuing my passions, when I'm not doing things I love. Doesn't mean I can escape all the responsibilities that I, you know, need to do. It doesn't mean I don't have to go to work anymore. It doesn't mean I don't have to do the dishes. It just means that I need to arrange my life in a way where I can do both the things I have to. And hopefully I enjoy those things and also the things that I love. And then hopefully eventually they converge and I find myself doing the things I love more and more because that's what I have to do. Yeah.
That's seriously where I'm at in my life right now. I do have to do the dishes after this talk, but I also, you know to make time for my family and know to make time for the business that I have on the weekends, Sunday, right now when we're talking, so that I can, you know, grow the passions that I have while maintaining my responsibility.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's very inspiring, I think, to see what you're doing right here with this podcast. You know, this is that example, like, exemplified. You know, you have something you love, and it's something you're pursuing, and it's opening up new avenues for you, and it's giving people like me an opportunity to share my story with the world, and that's so awesome to me, and it's so incredible. You know, and I just think more people should be doing the iDrift thing, and they should find what they love, and they should explore it. And they should, you know, do everything they can to share it with the world. You know, I really think you are the, you know, case study that I'm kind of referring to, of somebody following that passion, you know, somebody doing that. And, you know, that's what I hope I'm doing. And I hope I'm inspiring other people to do and share, you know, share that with people. Like, I think I stopped counting when I had helped like random internet strangers lose over 1,000 pounds when I was like in the deepness of it. And now, that more I'm sharing about pizzas online than I am like my weight loss story. I've had people in, you know, parts of Africa I'd never heard of, you know, making my pizza recipe. I've had people in Egypt, you know, making my pizza recipe. I've you know, had conversations with people, all over the world, you know, sharing with me how they've made my pizza. And it's just so awesome. And it's such a wonderful feeling to know that, you know, my passion has spread, you know, globally in some regards, you know, and it's just like, that's so cool. I could hide my secret recipes and guard them closely and not share it with the world. And, you know, I know a lot of people will be like, oh, it's top secret. Like, what? Why, you know, like, why are you doing that? Even if you're an amazing pizza maker, like, why are you keeping that secret recipe? You really think it's not the skill and the technique, you know, you really think it's just those ingredients? It isn't. Give other people the opportunity to do it too. So that's why I share what I do. That's why I'm out there, you know, saying, this is how you do it. You know, I feel really good when I eat this type of pizza. I hope you do too. I don't want you to have to eat pizza all the time and gain weight from it, or eat pizza all the time and feel gross afterwards. I want you to feel wonderful and rejuvenated when you do so. I want you to feel fantastic like I do. That's why I tried to help people lose weight. You know, it's why I tried to, you know, develop a recipe where other people can recreate it. It's great to have that sharing of knowledge to inspire other people and be inspired by them. It's just, you know, it's fantastic. You know, I hope more and more people out there recognize that there's good that they can do with what they're working with, even if they don't recognize it. I would have never in a million years never thought that I would be on a pizza podcast that I love, you know, talking about my pizzas and my journey. Like, this is magical. And anyone out there can accomplish so much if they just try. You know, I think the number one thing is people are scared to try. They're scared to put themselves out there. You know, as a teacher, I had the first time in the history, I think, of teaching where I had a bad observation by my principal the other day. I've been observed 61 times in the 11 years I've been a teacher. Like, every year I have like 4 to 5 observations. And I thought, you know what? I teach emotionally, you know, vulnerable students who have social and behavioral disabilities and what have you. And we're going to do charades. Okay. We're going to do charades for the principal about our emotions. And it went awful, as you can imagine. I mean, like, comedically bad, Chris Farley dripping with sweat style, like, just bad, like, fumbling over words. But I took that risk, you know, and I could have gone the safe route and it would have been fine, but I took a risk and it didn't work out for me. But it was a risk that I took that could have paid off. And if you don't take those risks, you'll never know. You gotta put yourself out there and you gotta try things that, you know, go against the grain and maybe put you out of your comfort zone, hopefully put you out of your comfort zone. And that'll be, you know, kind of that ticket to success, I think.
I vibe with so many of those things that you said. And I think everyone has a different place in life. Everyone's risk tolerance is different. I think risk is the little bit of a key piece of it all, right? Whether it's a 1% risk, 100% risk, or even like a 0.1% risk, I think it does take a little bit of risk. I think it takes a little bit of want and desire. And I think it's hard work and time. And I also realize, though, that everyone is in a different situation. But definitely, you know, think of it, maybe conceptualize it, and try to understand it and do what it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I imagine when you were starting up this podcast, you know, it was a very, very different avenue than you were probably expecting to be spending, you know, your Sunday afternoon, right? I'm sure this was not something that was extremely easy and comfortable at first. And now, you know, I'm talking to you and I feel like, you know, we might as well be on Sirius Radio because you are in control of these conversations, you know, like you got it down, you know, and I'm sure that wasn't easy at the beginning. I'm sure there was a lot of time spent like, should I be doing this? And now you're bringing, you know, the opportunity for people to hear and learn about these things. And it's just cool. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I hope more and more people will try to do. I mean, maybe it's the teacher side of me that thinks everybody should be teaching something and we should all be learning at all times. But I just think that's the human condition. You know, I think if you don't expand upon your horizons, you become stagnant, and then that's boringness. And I'd much rather fail at something exciting than succeed at being boring, you know?
Is there a mistake in pizza, business, or life that someone can avoid that we haven't discussed already, or that you want to, you know, expand upon that we have discussed?
Most people will find, much to their surprise, that if they do something long enough, they'll get pretty damn good at it. Sometimes it's things you don't like even doing. Like, you know, I know people who have worked the same job for, you know, 25 years, hate their job, but damn, are they good at it. You know, like, they are so good at it. Like, nobody can stay, you know, and everybody knows that person. Like, they're the crotchety, you know, old relative who complains about their job, but they're the best at it, you know? So just be careful with what you're becoming the best at, you know, because you're probably going to become really good at something. Do you want to be, you know, 80 years old, sitting there at a bar, like, well, I know all about how to clean toilets. Like, I mean, maybe you do. Like, maybe you're very interested in whatever it is, you know, and not to knock custodians, because some of the coolest people I know are very passionate custodians and that are really awesome. But is that your passion? You know, like, are you really, really going to be happy when all said and done that, you know, you did this or that in place of, you know? And again, that's that balance, right? Like, do what you love, right? Do what you need to do. Hopefully they converge. But if not, you know, if I never get to sell a single pizza and it's just me in my backyard posting on Facebook and Instagram, that's a win for me. You know, if I'm able to make it so my life is at one point selling and sharing my pizzas with people, that's the cherry on top. But the only way I lose is if I stop making those pizzas, right? And I start to just, you know, have a, you know, lean cuisine or a, you know, dinner at home every night, you know, that is just boring and not bringing me joy, you know? So you got to find the things you love, you know? Like, if you don't, you're going to run that risk of finding out you became an expert at something you hate when all said and done.
It kind of reminds me of what, you know, all the great pizza makers say is, like, figure out what your end result is and work backwards. And if cleaning toilets and being the king of that is what you want to be known for, figure out how to get there. That's cool. But if I want to be, you know, the best podcaster out there, I got to figure out how to do it. If you want to make the best pizza out there, you got to figure out how to do it. And I feel like at first, describing what you want and then figuring it out, whatever that may be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big nerd, so I always go back to superheroes. Like, in all of my analogies, it's always about a superhero, and now I'm seeing one presenting itself, so I must share. Like, you know, Superman writes stories about the traffic during the day, right? You know, like, no matter how awesome you are at what you do, there's still that responsibility part, you know? When he's not shooting webs up and, you know, swinging around the city, Spider-Man's taking pictures of flowers, right? Like, you still have your day job. You know, even those that we idolize do. Even your favorite pizza maker crunches the numbers and does the business expenditures, you know? And, like, it's not all going to be fun and games. But if you stay true to yourself and it's a passion, or it becomes your business, or it becomes your way of life, fantastic. But there's no reason you have to give up those things you love. One of my best friends growing up, right, he became a professor of psychology at a nice university and taught. And then he quit the academia to play League of Legends professionally for 2 years and got to, like, the 99.7 percentile, but not enough to make money because you needed to be 99.8 and above or some such. But he tried it, you know, and he did the thing he loves, and now he's teaching again. But it's like, yeah, like, how awesome is that? You know, and now he can still play his video games and competitively compete. It's not going to be his life. It's not going to be his career, most likely. But you don't have to give them up and go try it, because we all live one life. So you might as well make the best of it and fail at something you love and continue doing it for fun than not try. You know, I think that's so important. You got to put yourself out there. You got to try these things. And the biggest risk we all face at all times is just not trying, or being too scared to try, or, you know, shutting the door on an opportunity that you're not even going to explore. So, yeah, just do it. Just do it. You know, be a Nike slogan, for God's sake. Just do it.
Check, check, check. What do you want to leave the audience with today?
Well, my name's Ethan. I make some pretty cool sourdough pizzas, I think. Naturally leavened pizzas, whatever you want to call it. And I think you can too. So why don't you go ahead, start up a sourdough starter. Take some water, take some flour, combine them. You know, every day throw out a little bit of it and add some more flour and water until it's bubbly, and then make one of my pizzas. You know, there's lots and lots of tutorials on how to get a sourdough starter. And if you don't want to, there's a lot of people out there with them. So post online, go to your, you know, Facebook Marketplace or Nextdoor app or whatever you have, you know, find somebody with one, have them give you a piece of it. Feed it and make yourself a naturally leavened pizza. You can do it in your home oven. You don't need to have a fantastic one, but I love my dome. Shout out Gozny. So yeah, just do what you do and make it so you're doing something you love, and give sourdough pizza making a try, because I like it. And you know, if you don't like it, you probably didn't do it right. So keep working at it.
Oh, what a lighthearted way to end. Thank you so much for being on the show and really speaking to me. I appreciate it, Ethan.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Edric. Like I said, I was a fan of yours before. I think you were a fan of mine. So thank you so much for hitting me up and giving me this opportunity to spend my Sunday morning rambling about pizzas, because yeah, I had a good time.
Ethan, thank you so much for being on the show, for geeking out on dough with me and giving me relationship and life advice, and for being a huge inspiration. I can't wait to see your journey continue. To you, the listener, please, if you haven't done so already, check out Ethan's page at Natural Leaven Pizza and thank him for being on the show. If you haven't done so already, please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or give 5 stars on Spotify. Other than that, have a great freaking day. Until next time, peace.